Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
We started on a very strong note this morning. We are considering the subject of strength. Now, we are going to take a step further. And I want you to stay with me. Now, let me say this. Please give me Micah 3. We'll take verse 8a. But just hold on, I'll tell you when to project it. One of the marks of revival is that there will be strength. There will be energy. And one of the signs that revival is far from us is that there will be weakness. There will be weakness in the land. There will be weakness within families. People will know that something is wrong, but nobody has what it takes to rise up like Deborah to fix it. And that is why the Lord has declared that this is a season of judgment in the body of Christ. Are you here? This is a season for judgment. And it is important for us to know what time we are in as far as God is concerned, so that you won't be selling when you should be buying, and you won't be buying when you should be selling. Jesus said a time will come that he that is on the rooftop must not come down. He was talking about the end of the world. He said, two will be together, and one, I will come and explain that thing, because it seems to me that you don't even want to be the one that will be taken. But I will come back and address that one, because what they told me is that the one that is left is the one that is having problem. But I'm seeing some new material, so when I get there, I will let you know. Once I'm sure which side I want to be on, I will let you know. Revival, our theme today is we've tagged the revival storm. And that's because every time the Lord begins to call for judgment, what is he talking about? Cleansing. So as individuals, we must self-cleanse. My wife once asked me a question. Say, why is it that all your examples are very extreme? Like when I talk to her, if I want to describe it, I'll look for one very odd thing. Let me give you one. I know we don't have agent Sadiq was in the first service. He's not here now. If not, I would have asked him to stand up. How many of you who claim to be working from home? As at 3 p.m., you've not had your bath. Say amen. I will not ask you to raise your hands, so don't worry. Then if you are like me, have you ever, you started perceiving your body was, the aura around you was not fresh? Eh? Then you now asked your wife, I can smell, I'm smelling. She said, no, I can't perceive anything. Are you familiar or something like that? Then my wife will tell me, the reason why you feel that way is because you've not had your bath. And you are the only one who can perceive it. You see that your wife or your husband, because she is used to you, she may not be able to tell the difference. Eh? You know, as sadic as you are, she already knows that this is who you are, that sometimes it is in the middle of the night, or if PSN decides to do what they are sent to do, and they take the light for 6 hours, you know, say, I cannot sleep like this. So you are compelled to freshen up. But you, on a good day, this is how you are going to bed tomorrow. So this is where I'm going with that line of thought. as it has to do with self-cleansing, there are certain things that may pertain to you. The folks around you may not know that there's something wrong with you. But you, because you have the Holy Spirit, you just know that you can perceive something. There's, you know what it is. So sometimes there are times you are not coming too close to them because you know. Unfortunately, they are not aware. They just noticed that she stopped coming to church. Huh? But for her, it was her sin that stopped her. Or a feeling of not being holy enough to stand before a righteous God. Meanwhile, God specializes in this area. So when you feel that you are not holy enough, then you should come to God. His holiness will purify you. But when you run away from him and go back to where you will be celebrated and wanted and told that nothing do you, like when we were at the bank, at the beach, people started fornicating there. It was the song we were singing. Nothing do you because they shy you. We sang the song till the spirit of the devil came on us and we started misbehaving. I really don't know anybody in that class, that set 67, that didn't have a scar. There's a funny story. Every time I tell my wife, we both laugh. I used to attend the church in this Lagos. So because of my strategic, you know, as a banker, you know, and some of the top guys in that church. So there was a lady, she came to, we used to go to the beach sometimes to hold services. That's how wonderful we are as a church. We'll go to the beach, just relax, unwind, you know, while Gen Z church. So there's a lady that came for the first time. She's a medical doctor. So my pastor said, go and work, follow up on her, talk to her, get to me. I said, sure. So, you know those, is it a leko? They have some of these oats, attached oats. So we just sat there. I wanted to familiarize with her, get to know her. What one prophet sang a song that the hunter became the hunter. I don't know. Is it Fela? I don't know who sang the song. One prophet from the other side. I can't remember, but they say some of you only listen to Domwe. I said once, do you know the guy? I can't remember. Something about bushmeat and if you are not an OD, you can't know. San Sultan, God bless him, that prophet. That was my situation though. I was still trying to say, so where do you work? You was talking about our hospital, auntie. Then some other guys who came to the beach started playing those things that they normally that make you move your body. I just saw the girl just got up. Now, if you are watching online, I'm not a comedian, so I need to warn you. I'm just trying to describe something. Because now, what pastors do now is to become comedians. They dance on Instagram with their wife to show that they are happy. They don't know their work again. So I'm just warning you. I'm not a comedian. You may be fighting at home, both of you be dancing. You better face your assignment and stop telling people, this is not why you are called. This is not why God called you to be dancing online with your wife. It's not the sign that you are worshiping God. Yes, that pastor watch. This girl just... That's the day I knew that I was a weak man. Some things you can't pray away. Just run. The girl just started... There was one raining dance in that... The girl just did something like she just did like this, brought out her tongue. Ha! I have never seen a lady with such a very long tongue in my life. Ah, Zilebere. I looked around, we were alone in that, around that section of the beach. Ah, I say you're in trouble. This is a medical doctor, she's not a riffraff. This one understands your body, your physiotherapy, your anatomy, your every biochemistry. She can dissect you. Just brought out the tongue. I did not know when I ran. The person that said I should follow up, I left her. I ran back to where the brethren were. I did not go back to the pastor to say, whoa. The person you are, I cannot. This one, I am now the bushmeat. This one is more than my. I cannot do it. So, anytime my wife wants to tease me, she will not do like. I should tell you. So you're not even strong. Just say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Say, see. One small doctor with a very long tongue with the right moves. That dance step, that period was really a kind of trend. I just say, okay. You are not strong. Don't argue. You are not strong. You must know the checklist. There are certain things that when you begin to see them significantly, you know, when they take your blood sample to the lab, they check how significant is everybody has malaria parasite in their bloodstream, but how significant, little, seen, 1+, 2+, there's even 3. How significant that thing is what determines whether you'll be given tablets or you'll be admitted immediately. So the moment you begin to find, instead of, you know, we need to pray for revival, but we also need to make an attempt to find out what are the things that kill revival, that destroy the move of God in my life. And many times, those things are not direct sins. There are things that you can make an excuse for, like overindulgence in something that you like. There's one game on that is very popular on the phone. Candy Crush. As simple as that thing might be, some people are actually addicted to it. So, you need power to speak to the beasts, monsters that are assigned to kill the move of God. You see, the reason why we talk about revival is because there is something that God needs alive that is dying. There's something God is doing in your life that He needs alive. But there are certain things we are doing that puts us in a compromising position. And that is why the subject of repentance is so important. A lot of times, very rarely you find people talk about coming to God to say, I have sinned against you. In those days, that was how we confess our sins. I have sinned against you, and you go ahead to mention what you have done. Right now, nobody talks about that. Well, it just says, you know, just happened, and you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what? Because I don't know what you have been a perpetual sinner. What exactly are you sorry for? We need to know what exactly we need to tick off the register. And because that's why I told you guys in the first service that after the Lord is through with bringing His judgment to the music industry, because I cannot call them ministers, music industry, the Lord will now bring judgment to pastors. Because wherever there's no supply without demand. So the Lord now, we uphold His own standard, because He has seen that many of us who became pastors, we saw how our reverends in Anglican Methodists, how they served Lord faithfully and they suffered. Huh? So we are not ready to suffer again. One brother, one man of God said he went to visit a pastor and he saw the pastor's son. Pastor's son said, Apostle, I love your shoes. Apostle, I love your wristwatch. Say, what's that? God bless you. Don't worry, when you grow up like me, you become a man of God like your daddy. Say, God forbid. a boy of about 10 years refused to the prayers of an apostle. He said, why? He said, my father doesn't have money. The boy has observed his father to the point where he has concluded, if this is what it means to be a pastor, I want to be a businessman. I spoke to the daughters of one of the assistant general overseers in Redeem. She's my friend. So we are talking. We used to connect a lot, very well. I one day I asked her, have you been with Baba Adebowo? She said, how many times? Ah! I said, Omo, this guy. I was a single guy. I said, this guy, I don't marry. I inherited that anointing. That's what I was thinking. I said, has Baba laid down something for you? She said, yes now. Ah! I was calculating. I was in 300 level. The girl was in 2 or something. She was a direct entry student. I said, yes. This is the one I need. Ah! This one. Baba asked. Ah! This is what I want. You can't cook. Forget about that. Just escort me to where I will see Baba. Leave the rest. I will drain him of his anointing. One Baba just said, my son, God, I'll just hold the hand. Yeah, so I used to enjoy talking to her. She told me, Lord, I said, I go to daddy's house every time, you know, AGO, so they were always going. And I said, you are blessed too, that at least all you have to do is just marry a pastor. I was preparing my own transaction. She now said, no, I can't marry a pastor. No, me, I will be great. You understand? I'll be great. I was shocked. I didn't think somebody who had been so privileged to be so close to God's servant would be saying no. She now told me, she said, do you know how many times we went to bed without food? She said, no, because my dad did not have money. My dad left the house that morning. I was going to school the next day. School had resumed. Pastor Adeboye requested that all pastors should come. Senior pastors. They went into the meeting. Came back from the meeting broke. Including, he said, Baba just said, the building project, the Lord said, all of us, you empty our account. Right now. Oh yeah? Start. Let me start. Baba will do it so. Yes? You? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we have forbid you. Daddy, bless us. Bless your work. In jail. The meeting is over. Then daddy comes home. Say, daddy, I'm going tomorrow. He say, eh. But I told you yesterday, he said, no problem. He said, nah, eh. By the time she knew what was going on, that their life was one of sacrifice. She swore, anointing or no anointing, laying of hands or no, I will not marry a pastor. So all the one I was doing, laying groundwork, eh? The only way she would have said yes to me is if I swore that I will only become, I will be a worker in church or a Christian businessman. But what she has seen, what she has been made to suffer, he said it was my father God called. I suffered with him. All of us. God, who is rich in mercy, decided not to grant that request. Recently, I saw a picture on Facebook. She smiled to a pastor. She lives on the redemption camp. Serving the Lord faithfully. So, sometimes the things that we think we do not want are. Now, all some of you heard was, don't marry a pastor. I am also here to tell you, don't marry a pastor. Marry husband. The husband may now be a pastor or a banker, but you didn't marry occupation, you married a human being. If you married occupation, say, I want a businessman. If the businessman becomes like Dangote, do you think you'll be seeing him at home? Dangote comes to Lekki here, that refinery, 2 a.m. with helicopter. Can you stand your husband going to his office as if he's going to a secret court meeting? Do This issue of misplaced priority and not knowing what our destiny would require from us has caused many of us to burn out. We are now looking shocked when God says we are now at the next phase. Take off your shoes, for the ground upon which you stand is. So you now say, no, you told me that you bless me, provide for me. Listen. Even where I am in my life now, is a phase. It's a phase. This Maryland church, let me tell you, when we moved into this place, we paid $7 million. That was 7 years ago or 8 years ago. Well, this all where we are in, we paid $8 million to rent this place. So don't ask me what the bill is now or for all our other churches. But at least you can testify that I've never come here to say 10 people here with 1 million there, come out. Have you seen that? In case I'm no more here and one pastor comes and says, the Holy Spirit says, hey, slow down. This is not the way Pastor Benga used to do it. Just tell him straight. We don't use God's name to raise money here. And if a guest pastor comes here and does it without my permission, I will allow him go. But as soon as he's going, I hope you know that instruction has also gone. Am I saying you cannot sow? That's not what I said. I said, all right. I hope they will. There are certain things that I know will kill the grace of God over this house. And the Lord warned me before I started. Say, be careful about money. Don't raise any money unless I tell you to. Say, and I will not likely ask you to. If we need anything, please, brethren, we need water dispenser. Anybody that is blessed, you can help us. There was a day we came here, these thieves came and stole our chairs in church. Did you hear about it? Did you hear about it? Oh, no, you will hear about it because... Sir, did you hear about it? Did you hear about it, man? Do you remember a day I posted on the WhatsApp group and I said we need chairs in church, that anybody who can give us one or two? Do you remember? The weekend before was when the thieves came. But I didn't talk about it. And all of you gave. Though that person, but if I don't give my own. That one, he will be going with it for the rest of his life. It's not an issue. If he goes to camp, Baba will tell him, go back to the boy. You cannot steal here and receive forgiveness in another place. This one, me, I'm a pastor. This one, the boy you stole from is a prophet, so go to him. There are things that I prefer to refer to as destiny instructions. As long as you maintain them, even if you are not perfect, you will be almost untouchable by the devil. Some of those things will be instructions unique to you. They are not commandments. For instance, when we purchased all these new chairs, I think everything came to about 2.5 million. I'm not sure you heard any announcement. Those chairs you are sitting about 2.5 million. And yet, the Lord has told me, I can move you out of here in any time. And I will not consider your investment in this place. So please enjoy me while I'm here. Because someone better than myself is coming. Yes. If I now decide to hold on to the reins of the altar and say I will not go. You remember there was one man like that in the scriptures. When Solomon said they should go and bring the boy, his brother, the boy held on to that alone was a crime. There is nothing about God you must hold so steadfastly to that as if it's your birthright. More so, you are not called for what you are doing. A lot of people have touched that which they were not authorized. They are like Uriah. Who is the guy that touched the ark? Uzzah. He was trying to help God so God will not see shame. But he was not a priest. The same way, some people rose up against Moses and said that God, according to Moses, God said none of them must marry outside the family, the commonwealth of Israel. But the person that gave the prophecy was married to a black woman. Moses. Please, are you with me? When God came down, did he make reference to the fact that, but you, the moment I gave that, you should have divorced your wife. God did not talk about it. Where are those people that said that Moses, okay, how many of you, stand. Moses, stay aside. Let me destroy. He said, let me consume them. The person they stood against was the one that started begging for them. Right and wrong depends on two things. Number one, scripture. Number two, God's position on that matter. Was Moses wrong? Did Moses marry a black woman? Did Moses tell them not to marry outside the Israel community? So was Moses wrong? He was wrong. Because he himself is guilty. It's like a doctor, I just said, my family doctor that used to tell me, Benga, don't smoke. But in front of me, on his table was an ashtray. My family doctor, very lovely doctor, he'll check your heart, he will check, do everything. He will say, as you are going, say no to smoking. I say, yes, sir. But there was no day I ever went to his office at the teaching hospital and I didn't see that ashtray. Whether it's in the morning or in the thing is there. But that's not why I'm there. I'm the one who needs chloroquine or whatever. So you better focus on why you are here. Understanding the instructions that the Lord has given to you is very important. The problem is that most of us don't even have any clear-cut instruction. And I'm not talking about you hearing God's audible voice. So sometimes you may just be reading the Bible. And you just see this, this thing, let me adopt it. Because some of you you think that because you did not hear an audible voice. No, if you read it in the scripture, you have heard it. I said if you read it, you have heard it. If you read it, you have. One popular scripture, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods besides me or before me. Can we do a stock count on potential replacements for God? Do you know that the average Christian today doesn't know what it means to trust God? Because we have solid systems. In fact, the pastor will be telling you, make sure you have savings. Then have savings of savings. Some of us who are above 50 and above, some of us here will remember how our parents needed money. They went on their knees during family prayer, the family devotion. And they said, let us pray and ask the Lord to bless us with the school fees for our children who are resuming in 2 weeks' time. How many of you have experienced your parents praying like that, asking for God's help? So now, your parents, did they have jobs? They had jobs, but they prayed. Oh, goodness. They are not wise. If God looks at that generation and looks at our own, which one do you think he will prefer? You see, any gospel that takes away your dependency on God, regardless of what you have in your bank account, it's a false gospel. And one of the ways you will know you have embraced a false gospel is that you will become absent in the place of prayer. Because the idea about prayer is what? Dependence. Dependence. You coming to God and saying, I need you. You don't need me, but I need you. Even when you are so sure that what you are doing is the right thing, you still come to him and say, Father, we want to travel to Jos. We want to go to Abuja. We cannot go without telling you. Something happened, bro. Vimbo, something happened some years ago. In those days, we go to the park to take a bus. And because people are so mysterious, the bus was almost getting full. The guy sitting in front just said, he just shook. Say, I'm not going again. I'm not going. You know the feeling, right? You know what is like, God must, he must have seen something. Everybody say, me too. They don't even know why the guy came down. You can relate. You know, it's something that was popular then. Like someone just say, maybe the bus will have an accident. Can you know what I'm talking about? You, Gen Z, you will not know this one. Because you travel everywhere except through the park. I'm telling you, in those days, the situation was so terrible. If someone just says, I'm not going again. You know, because you are not sensitive spiritually. So this one saw something. See, let me come down. Driver, I'm coming down. It's just one more person, like, let's go. They say, no. I know what I'm doing. You know, you say, you just this small bag. Say, driver, I want to use myself. Then you go home and share testimony. You saw that, how God delivered. The people you are, they've gotten to their destination, though. Let me tell you, the cry for revival is, or the flames of revival are midwifed on fervent cry of dependence on God. A lot of us are praying, but our prayer really speaks of our dependence, our need for God, our desperate need for God. So that is why we have a lot of unanswered prayer. It's not as if those things you think you need, the Lord does not know. In fact, Jesus will say to us that your Father knows that you have need of these things. So right now, there are two churches growing up side by side in Nigeria now, and I dare say in the world. One is the Babylonian church, and the second one is the true church. So you need to evaluate the church you are attending. Peradventure, your church is now registered in Babylon. Or maybe your church is one of those churches that are doing the will of God. Now, let me tell you this. There are some of these our pastors around Lekki area. You see, because of the visibility they have in ministry, because of their location and how God has blessed them, they don't talk about certain things. Like some of the things I'm telling you now, nobody wants to hear it in Lekki. They don't come to you and prophesy. They don't do all those things. They make you very comfortable in church. Some of these pastors on Monday morning enter their vehicles and go to Ibadan to see those old CAC prophets. Some of them go as far as Ekiti State. Some of the last disciples of Ayo Babalola were alive. Some of them don't live in the city. They live in villages because they cannot stand the noise of city life. You go to Ifaki Ekiti, you go to very far places where they are close to nature. But these are the ones who saw Ayo Babalola with their two eyes. They received impartations. They are somewhere around Oyo, Ibadan, and Ilesha, all the way down to Ekiti. I'm not even sure we have them in Odosi, but all the way down to Ekiti. They live in very small villages. Some of these, your popular folks, they don't mind. They will go all the way down and sit down with Baba. Baba will pray for them. Say, my son. And those men, because they are prophets, they will see into the mind of God and tell you. But these men of God cannot bring these men to their churches to preach because it will be bad PR. They are not good for the photo ops. Because when they come, they will not tell you, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Is that the way you talk really, or is it just for the camera? You know, when they come, they'll say, and your mommy, Egbad Rabbi. Baba Obadare came to my school many years ago when people were dying. And he told the VC sat down, professors, all of us, we gathered at the field. He led us to pray. He asked us to pray. The man said, sorry, are they praying or talking? He said, we are praying. He said, Kpanuimo, Loruko Jesu. Keep Kpanuimo. What is Kpanuimo? Shut up. He said, you should pray. You say, ta, 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 me, me, me. I didn't ask you to speak in tongues. I said, pray. It was from his mouth I heard, Olubalati koja e, onko, ma koja mi oluba, pass me not to gentle. Say, the Savior has, he has gone very far. Walk past you, you didn't know. You carry, he said, you people called me, your lecturers are dying, your students are dying, people are running mad. I said, you should pray. Say, ta, 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 me, me, me. Say, what bad rabbi? Say, you will pray like this. I saw my VC. I saw my, even the lecturer that promised to fail me. So, you said the fear. You don't want to die. Ah! See, student. See, everywhere on fire. He's a blind prophet. But he knows when people are serious. The first decay that comes into the life of a man who is about to lose the flames of revival is spiritual carelessness. You'll get busy, too busy for the things that God wants you to do. If the Lord says, meet me here 5 a.m., you will be on your Instagram till 1 a.m. Because now, this generation, they don't care. They will first satisfy themselves and get to the office tired. In those days, we go to bed early so that we can get to the office fresh. Now, Nalai, how many of you agree with me that 1 a.m. we are still awake? It was in those days, they said, no, let me not disturb her. Now, people will send you message and they expect you to respond. I was in Benin City hotel room around 12 midnight. I was about to go to bed. I just saw a message from my professor. You know what he said? He said, I am thinking aloud. He just wrote a theory. He's thinking aloud. The predictors of moral degeneration and this one has correlated this with the... You know, because I was using my iPhone, there's a way I can read the message without opening it. I say, which kind of thing with this one? This is how this man will send message. I say, come to my house now at 12 midnight. And he expects me to see the message. Do you know, as I was looking at that thing, another one entered. I had to open the message. And I said, good night, sir. I didn't say good evening. I said, good night. Sir, you know that I don't know what time it is at your area, but where I am, Eletishu is late. I said, good night, sir. Thank you for this. I will start my research right now. That's what he wants to hear. He said, right now. One day he was talking to me. He said, look at me. He said, I don't play around. There are things you can do around me. But there is one thing you must not do. If I give you my book, don't tear it. Don't throw it on the floor. Don't misplace it. My wife knows. My children knows. I'll be your enemy for life. Look at that value system. A lover of books. 21st century. 12 midnight. That morning was Sunday. I was preparing to go preach and challenge wizards and warlock. That morning, you know, which I did. Somebody sent me 2 messages. And the Lord forbid that you are asleep when you get that message. My destiny must wake up to respond. I responded to the message. He proceeded to send me 16 other messages. Said, I'm just thinking aloud. He's thinking. He said, as the inspiration is coming, I'll be sending them. I am telling you that many of us are playing. We are not ready for what we are asking for. There are clear conditions for revival. And one of it is that we must return We must turn our back on spiritual recklessness. Spiritual recklessness now has to do with things that you can do without, but you have chosen to do it. Things that you can turn your back on, but you have chosen to accommodate, because that is what everybody is doing. God did not send you to this world to trend. He sent you here to do His will. Listen, whether you like it or yes, 100 years from now, you'll be dead. If you are lucky enough, you'll be dead. The question is, if the Lord now tells you, okay, you only have one more year to live, what will you do with that time? You start preaching holiness, Abby. You start preaching holiness. You start trying to live your life. We must sit down, itemize the things that represent spiritual recklessness. They are not necessarily sins, but there may be things you need to cut down on. That means you won't do them every time. Number two, the subject of prayer. And I was sharing with us, I noticed that just before every major catastrophe or major collapse of a Christian life, there will first be an abandonment of the place of prayer. And listen, we are all guilty. Because if you are honest, you will know the way you pray now is not the way you used to pray. A lot of people cannot stand on their own and pray without anybody giving them prayer point. Verse 1, we must return to the original design. Listen, a lot of I'm checking if I should say what I'm hearing. A lot of Pentecostal pastors in Nigeria, popular ones, are in the occult. Did you hear what I said? How do you tell if the pastor is wearing jeans and t-shirt? How do you know? How will you know? If you don't... Do you... Let me tell you. This is not the days for you to sit down and shout amen. Go and ask your pastor. When you come to his office, say, Pastor, have you joined any association that we don't know about? We know PFM, we know CAN. Is there any other thing? That... Lord. This is not... The thing that you know as the prophetic in Nigeria is a cult. Before now, when you go to those witch doctors and they give you some charm and they give you something, they have emblems, they have rings, they have staff, they have certain regalia. When they notice the people started observing, they no longer did those charms on specialized rings. They started doing it on their wedding rings. Nobody will suspect your wedding ring. Your pastor is not the only one meant to take care of you. You should also ask, Pastor, I noticed your message of late. It's changed. Is anything the problem? Should we be worried? Church is quiet. Is it like you want me to go to where? I said, I'm talking now. You must also protect me by asking me clear question. Pastor, are you struggling? Do you need to take a break? Go and spend time in prayer. Do you know that if people know that the pastor is not around for 1 month, they'll stop coming to church because the church is built around the pastor. I told you judgment is coming. It has come. If we are still taking care of those who call themselves music artists. When we are through to move to pastors, when we are through, God will now move to church members. The reason why we gather every Sunday. The people who will go online, the person who sang will be many. Nations are waiting. That song.
It's time for us to pray.
That song. Is the same song that is trending for unrighteousness now. I saw a lady dressed without wearing any underwear, dancing. You know, and you see, the thing is, because I had to ask my wife. I said, let me ask a question. Is it that when ladies do these things, they don't know? My wife said, there's nothing a woman does that she doesn't know. I said, are you sure? I said, when a lady dances sensually or sensuously, does she know? My wife said, yes. I said, is it possible that a lady is just naive? My wife said, no.
I said, wow.
I said, can a lady make a mistake? She said, yes. I said, but most times, everything is deliberate. I saw a lady yesterday, just nations are waiting. I said, maybe we should even look at this, where that song is coming from. Maybe there's a problem. Because I don't understand how the Lord's song can be sung in Babylon. I don't get it. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong. The kingdom has gone to the dog. Listen to me. The reason why we keep shouting, and like Gideon, people are saying, if truly God is with us, where's the manifestation? Put up that scripture, Micah 3, 8. He said, but truly, I am what? I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. They challenge Micah. What right do you have to be prophesying? You are not even as anointed as Elijah. Who are you? He told them. He said, I am full of power. Come and say, I'm full of power. He said, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And of what? And of what? He spoke about being full of three things. I am full of power, I am full of judgment, and I am full of might. These are the things that keep your flames working. Which means that after the Spirit of God fills me up, I must now come to the place of self-judgment. I will look at myself in the mirror and say, oh God, you are no more a Christian. You are no more a Christian. You go on a retreat. Pick your Bible. You cannot be living your Christian life on 1 minute short or reels or something somebody said. In those days, we will sit in church for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, not singing, no, listening to the word of God. And when our parents were done, they will still attend committee meeting and fellowship, and we, the children, will be playing out there. And if you didn't have this experience, I don't know what to tell you. But everyone part of that experience is still standing. They are still standing. Then somebody came and church doesn't have to be stressful. Who told you? Is there any way to get gold out without passing it through fire? So we must understand that right now, while we are making excuses, the Lord has gone to the children and said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have ordained strength. You see, this contention is about strength. It's about strength. Because no matter your vision, if you don't have the power to carry it out, you are useless. You are full of power. The moment you check yourself and you notice the power level is low, what are you supposed to do? Pull out. Retreat. 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 You know, the Lord ministers to me. And he said, regardless of whatever the generation that is rising, no matter what Satan is planning for them, God said, I've gone ahead. Amen. He said, the way I raised Ayob Babalola, and he spoke to that generation, he said, I can raise these young ones and give them the language that their generation will be compelled to listen to. Don't take yourself out of God's plan. This is the time to be fervent and stop making excuses. Come on, say, I'm full of power. Come on, say, I'm full of power. I want you to declare, say, I'm full of power. Hmm. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, the scripture says, it is not by, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. What many do not understand is that when you put the cart before the horse, you get stranded. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it comes with power. It comes with might. The Peter that could not face a woman in the corners of darkness suddenly stood up and said, this is that which was written, which was spoken, that on that day the heavens will open and the Spirit of God shall be released upon sons and daughters. He said, and they will speak in tongues. He said, Peter, I'm not sure you know who Peter is. Peter has never been so submissive in his life than he was on the day of Pentecost. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, we have been told that you'll be given the power to speak in tongues. But they didn't explain to us that the Holy Spirit comes to establish government. The Holy Spirit comes to establish what? The Holy Spirit comes to establish what? He comes to establish God's government in your life. So that from that day, even if you don't have a Bible in your hand, you know what you cannot do. How did Paul follow him? There was no Bible. It was the Old Testament they were reading. How did Joseph follow God? I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you that God can do more with your life if you settle down. When I was working at the bank, I knew the Lord wanted to do something with my life, but I didn't see 2025 the way it's happening now. I didn't see it. I have done more with my life. April 10, it's my wedding anniversary. That was the day I resigned from the bank. 6 years. I worked in the bank for so long. I knew how to beg an angry customer from losing his temper and getting me fired. I went to Zenny Bank last week. After visiting 3 banks, they couldn't do a simple transaction. So the next one I went to, the teller wanted to start acting up. I just say, hey, get me your manager. I'm tired. Sometimes you need to deal with the principality so that the small, small ones can level. I said, because when I go, I just wore jeans. I said, come your manager. The manager came out. I said, your staff says that they cannot handle such a simple transaction. Would you like me to help you escalate? I'll call one of your EDs. They'll get that platform working in 10 minutes. Then she looked at me. She said, please sit down. I sat down. I said, I'm tired. My time is very precious to me. I can't be going from... Your name is Zenith. Zenith means number one. But I've gone to 3 of your branches and nothing is... I'm not... Can you do it or tell me or should I help you escalate? I said, and I'm not coming back to this bank. She called me on the phone, asked for my email, sent the thing to me. Meanwhile, the teller was telling me that we are not allowed to collect customers' email. I said, you? Which bank did they train you from? Which bank? You are not aware that your bank is willing to sacrifice you and keep the customer. You think you are a big shot because you are sitting there. I sat there for many years. Somebody told a customer in my office that we don't have cash to pay. That's an aberration. How can you be in a bank and you don't have cash? It's just like saying you are in a river. You can't drink water. That is one of the most terrible sins. And some of you that are here, that you need to stop it. You are not... hey, pastor, you need to help me pray. What did you do? Why am I praying? What crime? Hello, I've changed you. As you are coming with the prayer request, come with the crime you committed. Because you will not, people don't learn. You create unnecessary problems for yourself. Then maybe I should be fasting and praying. I'm not doing it again. Come with your crime, then I will tell you what you do. Don't make it look as if your boss hates you. There's no boss that is a hardworking staff. The problem is that you are a politician. You are a gossip. Somebody in my office told a woman, a young lady, that we don't have cash. The lady did not talk. She called the ED, one of the ED's mom, said, Femi, no, Kunle, this is how you people run your bank. She mentioned my branch. They said they don't have cash. Just 2 million. Kunle, this is bad, though. Before the manager came out of the ATM room, he was suspended. The guy went to remove somebody's card that was trapped. I am telling you that when you try to convince yourself that the spiritual realm is not a legal realm that is coordinated by rules, look at how they operate in your own office, whether there are rules or not. The manager was not the one who attended to the customer. It was a teller. The teller said what she said. She didn't want to lie. She didn't want to lie. She's a child of God. Don't let me tell you what's in my mouth. The innocent manager, do you know that's how he was fired? He was sacked. He's a friend of mine. I was there as a relief manager in that branch to help them out. Somebody went on leave. So I came there to help the customer service department. And that matter happened in front of me. The lady just looks like any of you here. That person who made that, who answered that, who responded to that lady, was not trained the way I was trained. But in training school in banking, I was told, be careful of female customers. They can sack you. Because the female customers know how to whip up sympathy. If a female customer says, I will promote you in this bank, go and sleep, you'll get that promotion. A lady was in my bank, in Oshoni Bank, carried, wore hijab. It was another customer. Carried a baby and was pinching the baby. The baby started crying. She was number 10 on the line. And the branch manager walked in and said to the teller beside me, you have no emotional intelligence. You know that if the person is an elderly person or a nursing mother, attend to them. What's wrong with you? I always know you are not supposed to be in this bank. The teller panicked. Say, let me quickly attend to this woman. He did not look at the face on the computer, and the woman paid her $350,000. The owner of the account, this was in the year 2008. So imagine $350,000 then. That's like 3.5. Aha. So the original owner got the alert. Did not call my branch, called an ED. By the time they went to DC, come and explain yourself, how you paid somebody. They will ask you at the DC, I'm explaining the spiritual realm to you. I'm telling you how Peter was arguing with Jesus and he still fell. The moment there is something that the Lord is telling you, do this thing, and you start struggling with it, just remember Peter. Chike, leave him. He said, Chike. Yeah, I have nobody to marry him. It's only Chike. Chike, leave him. Chike. Just remember. Tell anybody, remember Peter. Remember Peter. Remember Peter. The moment there is something you struggle with the Lord, the way Peter was raising his voice at Jesus, I will not leave you. I know I left my business. I follow you. I left my wife. I follow you. I left my. You cannot be telling me about conviction. I'm convinced. I'm following you. Jesus was the one that went to carry him inside water. Say, Peter, do you love me? The guy fell so flat, he became a fisherman. By the time we got to DC, they only asked some questions. How many years have you been in the bank? It's okay. When you want to pay a customer, what do you do? Let's even check your knowledge. Because the Bible says, true knowledge shall the just be delivered. True knowledge shall the... So you may be righteous, but if you are lacking in certain things, the same way some people don't have understanding of deliverance, you may be righteous, but you will suffer. If the thing that is wrong with you has something to do with your bloodline, and you are saying, I know who I am in Christ. You know who you are in Christ. Then go for, be delivered. Stop speaking. God doesn't speak Queen's English. He speaks God. That's why you have a Bible. Your grandfather married three wives. Your father married two wives, and you need someone to tell you that polygamy is in your bloodline. You need someone to still tell you that the reason why you can be dating two ladies at the same time, even though you are not married, and you are doing it very smartly, is because you inherited something. No, you are not thinking it yet. You think it because you are smart like Sadiq. And your grandfather, the same way you keep your beard, is the way he kept his own, but you didn't check the picture. They ask the lady, what are you supposed to do? I'll check the signature, I'll check the face, I check amount in words and figure, I check the date. I say, okay, so what did you do? Because you paid the wrong person. Say, my manager put me under pressure. Go and call the manager. Manager said, I told you to do the right thing. Did I tell you not to follow policy? Deny the girl. What is a leader supposed to do? You are supposed to cover. Huh? He denied the girl. He said, I told you to be customer centric. He changed his tone. Customer excellence. Did I tell you not to do the right thing? They sacked the lady. They left the manager. The spiritual realm is riddled with laws. When you break those laws, one of the signs you will see is that you will begin to lose strength. Strength is one of the signs of divine approval that you must look out for. When you are serving the Lord faithfully, and now suddenly you have justifiable excuses, something has happened to you. Are you here? Are you here? How many of you are angry with your boss and you still show up on Monday? You may have a boss who is your age mate, and you're like, this girl is not, you are just lucky. But the way she shouts on you, she has seen your fight, she knows you are age mate, but she knows they look down. She shout on you. The boy you are dating is older than her, and this is how he used to hit his head. And he'll be smiling. But this one, she's like a thorn in your flesh. If you've never had a bad boss, you've not started working. Because work has a way of teaching you humility. If you have never worked with someone that doesn't understand, that refuses to understand, even though you are talking, you have not learned. You need to stay there till you get that kind of a boss. Because there are some things God will not teach you in the Bible study. He will teach you in the office. Come on, say I hear you. So we are looking at the subject of why revival power, revival fire is extinguished. And we are looking at recklessness. We are looking at the loss of prayer fire. We are looking at the subject, the matter of knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge. There are so many of them. Knowledge. And these are things, you must pay attention to. Before we begin to pray in the next few minutes, this message is just starting. But some of you are already scared. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. We'll stop here and then we'll pick it up when next we meet, if the Lord permits. Isaiah 28:16. Please. I could have decided let's pray, but I perceive that instead of praying, why not remove the logs, the things that are on our path? You know, I think I should talk about pride, because pride has evolved in such a way that you can no longer see it in the face. You need to take it to the lab to test it. And I am persuaded, this is why God cannot trust many people. Pride brings kings down. There were some special assistants that we gave the former president to go and work with him. They went to Abuja. They did not remember us. They were working. They were chopping life. Enjoying. So you can remember some of their names, eh? Though they were always abusing anybody, challenging the old man. Do you still remember their names? When last did you hear their names? There's nothing to it. Now there's another one shouting that the copper that spoke what she said is she should be given capital punishment. I say it's your turn to eat. That's why you had. Can you see why revival is far from us? We have created beasts. Some of us, that man is somebody's father. Maybe even his son doesn't have regard for him at home again. You come online and write. You write that this guy should be given capital punishment. When people now shouted, because you see this Gen Z, they are the generation of Sorosuke. They don't know your father. They will talk to you. You are the one that think you are special. This was your okay, calm down. People attacked the man. He came down and said, we did not misunderstand. It's what you wrote. Did you write capital punishment? Show boy, you don't know the meaning of capital punishment. Capital punishment means. They will fade away, but our God will remain. But let me tell you, Jesus said, because many people confuse pride with activism. Jesus said, and anytime Jesus makes a statement, I sometimes pause to look at what he's saying. Jesus said, the enemy cometh, and he has found nothing in me. That means even as Jesus was going about doing his ministry, he was aware that Satan was beside him. Jesus knew that his motives were being checked. Oh, Jesus knew that anytime he did a miracle to show off, he knew Satan was there. Jesus knew that it was not only people that came to his meetings. Angels were there. Demons were there. Satan was there looking for an occasion against him. Jesus knew. And he knew that all they wanted was one reason to disqualify him. And one day he stood and he said, the enemy cometh. He has not found anything. He has not found. That statement, he has not found, means that they graded the paper. They now released the result on the portal. They say he passed. He too now announced. Every time you pass, there will be an announcement. The same way when Jesus told Peter, the enemy has desired to have you. It was Peter didn't know they were in the exam. He was just trying to prepare the man that God be humble, be humble, be humble. The guy strolled into the exam and could not answer just three questions that were repeated. Are you not his disciple? He said, no, I'm not. Because John was not there. James was not there. Thomas was not there. So, maybe it's just this list. These people are looking like they're ready to kill someone. I don't know him. Say, but you look at the same question, rephrased in different ways. The guy, then when Jesus came back to meet him, Jesus also asked him three questions. The number of questions that he failed, Jesus represented the question that when they were asking you, are you not his disciple? What they were actually asking is, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what they were asking you. Oh, Kokaweni, you didn't settle down to read. You crammed the subject, the topic, you didn't understand it. When that girl asked you, are you his disciple? What she was saying is, you cannot be his disciple if you don't love him to death. Your being here is not an excuse. If you say you are a disciple, that means what you are saying is you love him. And just the same way we are going to kill him, you must be ready to die. And Jesus told Peter in that meeting, he said, a time will come. He said, you will be led to a place where you will not even have the power to say you don't want to go. And church history came back to tell us that he was crucified. You saw me when take your own cross. Take your own cross. And he said, I cannot die. He said, turn me up. God forbid. God forbid that the one that I denied, I will not. God forbid. Turn the cross upside down. He died a painful death, but he was wiser.
Hallelujah.
He was wiser. He was wiser. I remember Stephen. Stephen had so much faith. Stephen didn't walk with God when Jesus was on earth. But he came into the faith and the Spirit of God filled him. He was unique. He was different. I'm talking about people who lived a revived life. I'm talking about people who the Spirit of God in them created a flame that made them so hot, Satan couldn't touch them. Stephen could not stop the persecution, but the Spirit of God gave him the grace to stand.
You know, sometimes what you need is just the grace to stand.
Yes.
That standing gives him glory.
Yes.
Standing when you have unanswered prayers gives God glory. Yes. This one is my disciple. Yes. This one is not following me for what he will get. Yes. This one, Paul came, saw, he was saw there. He was gathering, so he said, break his head. He said, useless man. Saul did not know that when this one dies, what that one was carrying will come on him. He didn't know that the greatest mistake that can happen to you is to be beside a man of God that is dying. A man of God that is about to give up the ghost. What is carrying? Somebody must continue. If Saul knew, he would have said, don't kill him. Let's arrest him. Let's put him in prison. He didn't know. I told you the spiritual law works in a very unique way. Paul was gathering stones. I gotta say, look at the way this way. He doesn't know his illness. If anybody told Paul that day that he will go length and breadth for the gospel, Paul said, you don't know me. I follow Abraham. I follow Moses. I know whom I believed. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will begin to quote the Torah. Because you have not met Jesus. He gathered stone. He said, this one is big. Break this out. Boom! As Stephen was dying, he pointed to the sky. He said, I see Jesus. You see, the power to see him in a very difficult time that we are living in is the evidence of a revived life. The power to see him when you are faced with so many unanswered questions, and it seems as if people are saying maybe God has forgotten you. You can close your eyes and say, Jesus is still here. Jesus is still in my life. I can feel him around me. Yes, I have a problem, but Jesus is in this house. Jesus is still with us in this house. And you can tell your children, don't fret. Jesus said he's here with us. It takes a level of revival in your life to look at your children and look at the people and say, Jesus is here. He told me he's here. When I shut my eyes, I felt his presence. They stoned his head. He was bleeding. He said, I see Jesus. And Jesus was not sitting, because the scripture told us that since the day Jesus resurrected, he had been sitting at the right hand of God. But you see, when one of his generals was about to come, Jesus stood. This is how Jesus stood. I cannot sit down where my general is about to come. Jesus honored his servant and stood up. Oh my God, you don't understand what I'm saying. I am telling you, the day you see him in glory, he will not be sitting. He will be standing waiting for you. And while you are trying to walk, he will say, my daughter, run to me. Run to me, run to me. You have worked so hard. You have labored. You have won many souls. You have prayed for many souls. Don't walk to me, child. Run! And while you are still waiting, he will run to you. The way that father ran to his prodigal son and welcomed him. Say, I see. Hey, forget that. You are back. You are back. You are back. What manner of love? What manner of love is this? How can we explain this kind of love? That God would love us so much. Love us so much and call us his sons. In spite of our weaknesses. That's what makes Satan so mad. Satan can't get it that after all you have done, God looks at you and say, my precious, he didn't just say my daughter, he said, my precious daughter. Jesus stood for Stephen. He was just a deacon. He wasn't among those that will preach on Sunday, but his impact was formidable. You might just be in the choir, or so it seems it's just the choir. Or just an usher. Or so it seems it's just an usher. But on the day of glory, and I ask you, if Jesus is standing, who do you think will be sitting in heaven? So the 24 elders, they are standing. For Stephen, they are standing. Because you have suffered many things, but you have not denied your faith. Do you know that that is all Satan wants from you? To be able to deny your faith. To be able to turn your back on Jesus. Not with words, but by posture. You take a posture where you see people, you are forced by the civilization of this world to take a position that says, well, if that's what he wants, if that's me, I'm my own Jesus. No! We won't win them if we keep doing that. We are contending for souls. And as that man saw Jesus, he
committed his spirit. And God took his spirit. He died. Shortly after then, the chief ringleader was on his way to Damascus. Breathing venom. With so much anger. These guys were going to wipe them out. There's a bandwagon of them. They're hiding in Damascus. This time around, we will not arrest them. We'll kill them there. He was ready, fuming. He had the Roman soldiers. He was hell-bent. This time, Jesus did not send an angel. Jesus showed up himself and stood on the road. But what he saw was a bright light. He saw a bright light. But it was Jesus. Then he heard a voice. Saul. He fell down. I said, people have not had an encounter. That's why they are still talking. You have not seen Jesus. That's why you are still lukewarm. The reason why you have an excuse is because you have not seen Jesus. Oh God, we need an encounter again. We need an encounter. Tired of all this religious stuff. Turn the church to a dancing disco hall. We need an encounter. We need Jesus back. We need Jesus back. Jesus is more loud and more of a song than the disco that we are celebrating. We will not win the world by becoming like them. We will not win the world by becoming like them. We will not win the world by becoming like them. But as we become more like Jesus, the world will become convicted and then they will seek our God. Jesus stopped him there. Jesus stopped him there. Everybody saw that something was happening, but God was having a personal transaction with one man. Do you know that you might be in a crowd? Yeah, God just came for you. God came for you. If we get this one, we will get Ephesus. If we get this one, we will get the city of Colossae. If we get this one, we will get the Philippians. If we get this one, we will get Corinthians. If we get this one, look at all the cities. Look at everywhere Paul went to because of an encounter. Listen to me. You need an encounter to keep the fire burning. You need an encounter. There is something about him you must see. There is something about him that must become real to you. He saw Jesus, he became blind to the world. He saw Jesus, he rose up blind. The agenda changed. Only he had with his ears. Go, that city you are going, you will go there. As for Ananias, he's my faithful apostle. You know, if not for that day, nobody would have known of Ananias. Out of many things that the Lord wanted Ananias to do, there was one he must not miss. That is what will determine his final score on that script. There is a man you must wait. If they tell you the ministry is booming in Abuja, you must stay here. There is a man that is going to pass this place. That man is useful for me. You must not miss him. When they tell you, go and buy this cola, I do everything. Tell them, no, he said I should wait here. You don't need some things in Ifakekiti. You don't need some things at Karen and Muda. Because there, if you can even just get a place. In those days, you know, we had one kind of drum. One small drum we used to beat. You go to that church, you will not see any keyboard. From the entrance, if you come late, you'll be hearing, Ranka, de-de, Jesu, Ranka, de-de. From out there. You will begin to feel. I don't know how we got to the point where we felt that without this keyboard, without this. I said, you have no encounter. You have no encounter. Haven't you stayed in your bedroom and while betting, you felt God's presence? As you are singing, somebody lied to us. And today we are taking the place back. Come back home. Come back to God's presence. Listen to me. He is waiting. He is waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to hear your voice again. Not asking for anything, but even asking him. Asking him what is most upmost in your mind. How can I please you? How can I be of service? He said, it is those that wait upon the Lord. Do you know what it means to wait on the Lord? It is like a waiter in a restaurant that stands waiting for your order. You came to pay, but that waiter will wait on you. He will wait on you. And God says, I need people who can wait on me. He said, if you can stand there and you are not angry and you can wait, he said, what I reward you with is called strength. He said, those that wait upon me,
they shall renew. That means it is possible, no matter how genuine my calling is, no matter how righteous I am, to become weak. Over time, I will lose strength. Over time, I'm not able to do the things I used to do. Over time, I become tired. I become discouraged. Say, but when you start noticing those things, come back. Come back. Come. Leave food alone. Come and stay with me. And when you come, don't be too quick to start praying. Begin to sing. You are taking me back to the north. See, let me tell you, those kind of songs don't need drama. Because if you don't mean it, you can't sing it.
Yeah.
That song resonates from within the heart. And you can begin to dance for 30 minutes without drums. You can begin to praise God. We were in those churches with those small local drums. Nobody was fornicating. Revival starts with an encounter with Jesus. Revival starts with an encounter. Lord, I need a new encounter. Lord, I need a new encounter. I don't want to live a lie anymore. I'm tired of living a lie. I'm tired of giving the people the impression that I'm all right when I know all is not well. Oh, Lord, can you visit me again? 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 I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh visitation. I need the fires to begin to burn again. I am weak. I am lonely. I am tired. I'm frustrated. Lord, I ask if you can visit once again. If you can steer the waters 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 once again, if you can steer the waters once again, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you in the morning. I need you in the afternoon. I need you tonight. I need you, oh God. I can't continue like this. I need you. I need you. I need you. Revive thy works in the midst of the years. Revive thy works in the midst of the years. Revive thy works in the midst of the years. I cannot continue like this. Sin is holding me down. The shackles of sin is holding me down. Jesus, breathe upon me. Set me free. Set me free. Set me free. Alega baraka tazeta labaya. Lord, let there be a visitation. Let there be a visitation. Let there be a visitation upon this house, upon everyone watching. Let there be a visitation, the visitation of fire, the visitation of fire. Let there be revival. Let there be revival. Let there be revival. Revival in our churches. Revival in our families. Revival in our lives. We want revival. We need revival. I need revival. I need revival. Ale barakata baleso. Shanda balagada barakas. Karabashanda. Ale barakas. I want you to ask the Lord to come again. Ask him to come to you again. Ask him to visit you. The way he visited Saul on the road of Damascus. Ask him to visit you. Ask him to visit your children. Ask him to visit your family. Ask him to do something new in your life. Oh Lord, we ask for an encounter tonight, oh God. Lord, we cannot continue the way we have been.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You know, one of the most blessed things that can happen to you is when you know that you are in need of Jesus. If not, without that knowledge, you will be sinning and explaining it away. If you cannot see that at this junction, you need help and quickly. The church is not meant for perfect people. It's meant for perfecting people. Do you know that there's enough fire, there's enough water, I beg your pardon, waiting for you on Monday to quench the fire that you are receiving today, such that if you are not spiritually stubborn, the person that will take away your fire may be outside this church now, beckoning to you to come and sing. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. People will never be free from habits until they have Jesus. You can tell them what they are doing is wrong. They know. But you see, Jesus is the breaker of chains. Our generation must recover who Jesus is. Our generation must recover who God is. The ark of the Lord went into the house of Dagon. God did not say one word. Dagon was split into pieces. We don't know. Our generation no longer knows the power of our God. Our generation no longer knows that he is the El Shaddai. They no longer know who he is. That is why it seems that we are competing with the world. Lord, visit us. Lord, visit me. Olu, I bought on Mikpade. Olu, I bought on Mikpade. Lord, I want to leave this place a transformed man. I want to leave this place a transformed life. Lord, I am not strong enough. I am not strong enough. If you don't help me, where will I go? If you don't help me, where will I run to? Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for revival. Revival. I need it. Oh, I need it. Every hour I need it. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I call to Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is supposed to be the judgment of this world? That is what the church will ride on into glory. Come breathe in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me. Come breathe in me. And I will run on any good. Listen, God's calling to us today is for us to stop making excuses. God wants us to make out time for him this week. And we'll come and repent. We'll repent. God wants us to come, spend time with him. We have left him and fallen in love with our social media handles. We are falling in love with how many likes and shares we are getting on social media. We have become addicted to things that God is angry at. Such that even the algorithm now knows. Anytime you turn it on, they start sending those things to you. They know you. The scripture says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. So today, Those things that God calls his enemy, we now call them our enemies. In the name of Jesus. Listen, this message is not for you, it's for me. Let me tell you. You cannot tell me that Peter didn't mean what he said when he tried to assure Jesus that he would never turn back. He meant it. He meant it. But sincerity is not always enough. I say sincerity is not always enough. You need strength. The scripture says if you fail in the day of adversity, that means the kind of things I fall for can give me a good picture of the strength level that I currently have. This is why many of us are losing strength. As a pastor, if Satan tries so hard and he cannot get you, he will go for your children. Don't be a child. Don't be naive. You know the battles you are facing and you are keeping quiet. Your children, you want them to go and fight to continue the battle. We need help. Oh. We need help. Listen, play low. Listen, it is very clear at this juncture that there is no preacher of righteousness that social media will promote. Settle it now. That social media acceptance is not a proof of who God has approved. A young man of God came out about 2 years ago or 3 years ago. He started putting a lot of content on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. And people started liking him. They say he's a unique man of God. This type of Lazarus is not in the grave. He's alive. They started praising him. Then he came out last week and made some statement about the rascality of music ministers. The same social media came after him. If you live your life to please your in-law, live your life to please your best friend, if you live your life to please everybody, and you fail to please God, at the end of the day, all of us here now, as we are here now, I don't think at 80 years, if you are still alive, you must be an Odogu, because even then, most of your friends would have died. You will now be telling your children, follow Jesus. You that at your own, at their age, you did not follow Jesus. You look at yourself. We look at your social media. Nothing here suggests to us that you are a child of God. Nothing. So where else can Christ be seen if not on social media? I know the problem. You have not met Jesus. There was a day Jesus was sleeping after preaching. Some Greek men came from the land of Greek and they told the apostles. He said, we want to see Jesus. They came from very far away. They have heard about Jesus. They know they didn't have the luxury of staying because this is not their land. They are still going back. So they came to Peter and his friends and said, please, we are from Greece. We want to see Jesus. They woke Jesus up. I thought Jesus would say, hallelujah. From Greek, our ministry is moving to a permanent site. Jesus said, and I quote, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. It will abide alone. But if it allows the death process, then it will rise up from that ashes. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry, don't say I'm asking you, sir, what's the correlation between people that came from afar and this statement? Because it's as if you are speaking from another dimension. Do you want to see me? Follow me to Calvary. because that's where I'm going. The Son of Man must be crucified. This Jesus you are seeing, you cannot walk with him until, like Paul, you can say, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Jesus is here now, but he's going very soon. How will you see him if he's not here? Let me take you to Calvary, where I will be planted in the earth. And then after 3 days, I will emerge. But I will not emerge alone. I will have millions of people in Nigeria. I will have millions of people in Ghana. I will have millions of people in South Africa. I will have millions of people in Iran. Do you know how many Muslim Iranians are giving their life to Jesus? Many of them, Jesus is appearing to them now in their dreams, and they are all having the same dream. In Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, a lot of people are, why you are throwing away your faith? The same people you thought could never be Christians, they are having prophetic encounters. And Jesus, he said, I am he that died and rose again. I am alive forevermore. Will you follow me or will you go to Muhammad? And then they quote that scripture, Bismillah Rahman. How did they pray that prayer? Allahu Akbar, Muhammad. That place for Muhammad, they put Jesus there. Don't think that God is not working, though. You are the only one who can see it. He's still in the business. The Bible said the Lord was walking with the disciples, confirming the words that they spoke. That means if the Lord finds you, God's power, speaking the very words of the heart, he will come and stand with you and start walking with you. He will start walking with you, because most men only came to Jesus to become known. They use his name to become popular. They use his name to become trending people on social media. For them, following Jesus is an occupation. And that's why they can preach and say so many things, but no power. No power of conversion. No power of revival. No, they come to church, there is no call to come back to God. Nothing is happening. Same as usual. But today, the person that came in here is not the person that is living. Because Jesus would have opened the deep corners of your heart. And you will find your love. That love you first had when you met him, you will find it again. He said to that church, he said, come back to your first love. Come back to your first love and perform the works that you first did. If not, I will come and I will remove your candle. That is Jesus. There are rules in the spirit realm. Today is a day of repentance. Today is a day of mercy. Hallelujah. Jesus said, and I quote, no man will come to me and I will cast him away, except I was not the one you came to. That is our Jesus. Always merciful, always gracious, always ready to help, always ready to hold your hands. I don't know how many of you are here and you want Jesus to hold your hand. I want you to rise on your feet and let's ask for the help of God. Let's ask for the help of God. It takes the help of God to be a Christian. It takes the help of God to be a child of God. I want you to begin to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the help of God. Lord, as a church, we ask for your help. For our children, we ask for your help. For our families, we ask for your help. You hear the word of the Lord. Whosoever the Son of God will make free is free indeed. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to me. If you walked into this meeting today with a strong burden of guilt, and you have, maybe there's something you've been hiding or dealing with, Jesus says it is dealt with. Don't focus on the sin again. Focus on the one who loves you. It is only as we behold him that we are being changed. We are being made strong.
Only as we behold.
Believe it or not, God is proud of you. Because he has seen your hand and it was beautiful. Hallelujah. He saw you many years, 80, 85, and you were still standing strong. But you started weak. You started like someone who will not make it to the other side. But you see why Jesus is investing in you. Because he saw your end. And that end was beautiful. Listen. I don't know. You may not believe it if I tell you that right now, even if I have to live in the US, it may not be such a thrill for me anymore. It may not. Number one, I'm getting old gradually. So those things may not be such a thrill. Number two, I only want to be there if it pleases him. If it pleases him for me to be there, I don't care about how you feel. However, if it is not his will for me to be there, and I force myself into that, so what happens is the covering, which was mapped to where he sent me, I have removed myself from it. That's why you see some men of God, it's not like they don't pray so hard. It's because they know the parameter and they stay there. They just stay within where God has put them. So while you are praying some prayer, they don't pray because as far as they are here, they are secure. My friend, Dr. Matt, he was here at our anniversary. His father is a man of God. When they rushed him to the hospital and the doctor said, I don't know how you are still alive. The wife called Pastor Matt's mother. Pastor Matt's mother panicked. She ran to the room, called the father. And the father said, did you hear his voice? She said, yes. He spoke to you that he's at the hospital. She said, yes. The father said, don't worry. If he's still breathing, if it is what as it has to do with what God told me about him, you said he's still breathing. He spoke to you. He said, don't worry. Let's prepare. We'll go to the hospital. He was an elderly man. But you see, there is a faithfulness that is only known among the aged. There is a wisdom that is only known among the aged. David, in his very old years, will say, I was young. Now I am old. I cannot remember seeing the righteous forsaken or his children, the children of a righteous man coming back to beg from their enemies. He said, I have not seen it. It takes years to know that kind of thing. You quote it, but David knows it. That man said to his wife, he said, where are my shoes? You said he's still breathing. No problem. It will be all right. If you heard his voice, it will be all right. Get me my shoes. And they were coming from Ikorodu till they got to Ikeja. When he saw his son, he said, my boy, this is a man of God. My boy, how are you? Okay, don't worry. The man just sat down. He didn't say anything. Throughout. He didn't panic. He just sat there. He didn't talk. He didn't play. He didn't talk to the doctor. He didn't say. He just sat there. They took him into the theater, brought him out. He was there. He didn't say a word. There is a grace that comes with being with God for a long time. You know some things. Your prayers are very loud, but not in people's ears, but in God's ears. He just sat there, didn't say anything. He told me, say, go home. You have tried. Come tomorrow. The man stayed in that room. He didn't. If the doctor could say, sorry, well done. He will do like this. He will leave the road for them. He didn't bother anybody. He just sat there, remembering what God told him about this boy. Follow God. Your children will benefit. Follow God with all your heart. so that God can enter into covenant with your children. Follow God with all your heart. He gets why. Follow God. Don't be double-minded. There might be many people doing the double-minded. You leave them alone. You, with your own heart, follow Him. God is a covenant-keeping God. You will see mention Abraham, Isaac, three generations. He's a God that is always looking to continue. God doesn't want to start something with you and abandon your children. Even when Solomon sinned and he grieved God, God said, because of your father. That means he would have destroyed Solomon. Say, but your father, it's a very rare, I don't know how people like you come out from that family, but because of your father. And then Rehoboam, came and scattered everything. But it will not be so amongst us. We will serve God. Our children will take it to the next level. Our great-grandchildren will take it to the next level. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Shout hallelujah.